Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the JNJ Podcast. This podcast is part of the Torn by Sports Podcasting Network.
How we doing, everybody? Welcome to the Jimmy Podcast. I am your man, Jimmy Jeff. We are coming at you here on Thursday, December 15th. It's been a while. My man on the other side, Jeff Ross, what's going on?
You know, the usual holiday preparations and parties and all that good stuff, you know, basketball. So this is, I can't complain. Just
we are in the thick
normal
for
December.
Sure.
For sure, yeah. It's been good, though.
That's good, man. We're glad there's not too much snow outside, but we better be careful what we're looking for. It's like there might be some on the horizon coming, but mid-December, literally, middle of December, approaching the new year, and bowl season is just right around the corner. Just a couple days away.
Yes. And we're having a little technical difficulties here. We'll hold off, though, and see if it gets a little bit better with hearing Jimmy here. But yeah, it's bowl season, and the let's see, what's the first bowl? I've been so caught up on basketball. I'm trying to think of what it's the Vegas Bowl usually goes pretty quick, but yeah, I'm excited, man. It's good to get some football going again. In fact, we posted a little poll on the J_J Podcast Twitter account in regards to, you know, what people were looking forward most to, or what has their interest right now. And right now the Jazz are up at 32%, but the football bowl games is right there at 31%. And then obviously later on the show, we'll get into the running Utes where they're 23% and then Cougar basketball 14. So obviously, you know, we are in a very heavy college football area. As of right now, it college football is king, but the way the Jazz have been playing too, man, it was a tough way to vote that one. It's a fun little run here.
I was really interested to see the results. Obviously because bowl season hasn't really hit us yet. As we mentioned, it does start here on Saturday. There's actually 4 games on Saturday. What are we doing on sound, by the way?
Still kind of a little breaking up, going in and out, but it does seem sometimes to get better with time. So let's just keep trying it, and then if we need to, we can go our separate or a different route and get the quality better.
Right. That's what it is, folks. It's life. Sometimes things don't go the way we like them. There's a few bowl games this Saturday. The Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl, if you want to count that. It's a Division II national championship.
Yes.
But you got the New Mexico Bowl, the Big Bowl, the Camellia Bowl, the Auto Nation Cure Bowl, and the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. A bunch of games on Saturday get the bowl season kicked off.
That's right.
And then it's that whole next 2 weeks after that is the stuff that we love. Football every day.
Yes, that's going to be awesome. And you know what, though? That Saturday, Houston, San Diego State, Vegas Bowl, that's a good little, I probably won't watch most of some of these games. I'll be honest. Nothing gets me up to watch Southern Miss and Louisiana Lafayette, but, I'll tune in here if I have time for the Houston San Diego State game, and check in to see how they're doing. But you're right. I mean, after that, it gets going into the bowl games every day, and And it's, you know, the matchups that we're almost interested are happening later on. So, you can't complain. Football's football, and there are a lot of people out there who'd rather watch Southern Miss, Louisiana Lafayette than watch early season NBA or early season, you know, college basketball. So teach their own, but for me, I personally will pass on some of those early games until it gets into some of those better ones. But everyone has their interests, and that's what makes this all different. So,
yeah, you can put me in the boat of I'd rather watch postseason college football than regular season basketball. I don't have a dog in the fight, especially NBA. It's so difficult to watch the way it's officiated anymore. But that's something we can go off on. But when the playoff races start to unfold, that's when I can sit and watch an NBA game. And of course, March Madness, I take those games off of a year, watch every single game from start to finish, basically on four screens, of course, than the norm in the town and the country. But catch a couple of those. It is a Saturday, so early afternoon one for most
people. Hey, yeah, we're
steps along the way.
We're having a hard time hearing you again. It's gotten a little bit worse. Let's see if you can call in and see if that might be a little bit better. But as we're waiting. He did touch on for him, his preference is obviously postseason football over college basketball or NBA. Looks like we got Jimmy coming in. All right, Jimmy, you there?
I'm here, man.
All right, let me mute your other line here.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Okay, perfect. So we're doing good. So finish what you're saying there just as you were breaking up.
Yeah, no, it's I love this time of year, but it's like you said, I'm the exact opposite. I have a hard time watching regular season NBA this time of year, but oh man, I got distracted. You got
You're
the NFL
good.
Game on your side?
You know, I don't. Where I'm sitting, I don't have the I don't have my Dish network set up, so I'm not watching it.
One of the craziest plays I've ever seen, a punter fake punt and then gets tackled by nobody. And now he's on the ground lifeless. That's scary, of course, but definitely one of the craziest plays I've ever seen.
Interesting. Anyway, I'll have to catch them.
Yeah, no, we love sports. So sometimes they distract us during the show. Me, not Jeff. it's like, I have a hard time watching the NBA when it's not a dog in the fight. Even college basketball, the way they're officiated anymore, if you don't have a dog in the fight, it's hard to watch a game for me, unless it's the playoffs or, of course, March Madness. I watch every game, as most of us do. So I'm excited for these early bowl matchups. You did mention the Houston-San Diego State game. That's going to be a fun one. Yeah, those early afternoon ones, that first weekend are going to be hard to catch, but most people won't mind missing them. We got another game of interest here locally, just two or three days after those first games. So it's exciting. I love December football.
Yes. And, I can respect your opinions on that. And like I said, that's what makes everyone indifferent and That's the way sports are. Everyone has their interest, I respect that. So, but yeah, you're right. Coming up here on Wednesday, right? A week
yeah.
from yesterday.
Week from yesterday. You're right. 7 o'clock.
BYU,
San Diego, Cougars, and the Pokes.
Yes, interesting game to say the least, and I'm somewhat curious to see how this one turns out. Obviously with Tanner Mangum getting the start, something that some BYU fans wish would have happened earlier. Obviously not wishing for an injury, but
right.
would have liked to seen Tanner get in earlier. But yeah, very interesting matchup. So I'm very interested to see how that comes out. And Wyoming fans are known to travel. So this game should be, you know, for bowl games, especially these ones before, the non-New Year Six bowls, the attendance usually isn't great, except for maybe the top tier of those ones. But I would imagine that this will be one of the ones that is more highly attended, just because BYU fans will travel. They'll have, obviously a large LDS population down in the Southern California area that will go. And Wyoming fans are known to travel as well. For those Mountain West Conference tournaments that have been in Vegas, they usually have a good crowd out there. So, and this is their first bowl game in a while. So, I'd imagine that it'll be a fun game to watch. There'll be a lot of interest there. I'm interested to see how BYU's offense looks with Tanner as a more pro-style quarterback taking those reps. And see how BYU's defense stacks up against a very solid Wyoming offense. It's going to be a very interesting matchup, and one that for sure out of the pre-college playoff bowl games, to say, is one that will that I'll watch.
Yeah, it's funny you say that the Wyoming fans travel well. Man, if I lived in Laramie, I'd travel well too. I'd be itching to get out of town as quick as possible. It's a lot of good storylines. You never want to see somebody go down, but it's just one of those situations where you're excited to see what the next guy can do. Both teams here that we focus on this show, the fans of both teams know that very well, as we've had lots of injuries this season and in recent years, where it's like, you want that guy to be out there, but it's a situation where someone else can come in and get the job done, and you get to see how they play. And this is a little bit more unique, as we know how good Tanner is, as he got an entire year last season and threw for over 3,000 yards as a freshman, fresh off his mission. And now he's in football shape this season, and so this will be a good prequel. I do expect BYU to look good in this game on both sides of the football. Wyoming, like you touched on, hasn't been good in a while, so it'll be a good experience for them, but it's not going to be victorious.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at the spread on this one. You know, to me, I think BYU is the better team. I think that they're going to be the team that's going to end up winning. But I think this matchup is not I wouldn't say it's an easy win for BYU. And I think it's going to be it could be a dogfight. I just don't know enough about BYU with Tanner in right now. I would imagine they're better. Is Jamal playing? Is he still hurt?
Oh, absolutely. He's good to go.
He's good to go. So that's a big difference maker, that you give the edge right there. I don't know how good Wyoming's defense is. I know that they're obviously they played a good Boise team, a Boise State team, and held them pretty well with their defense with that safety. BYU's what, 9-point favorite?
BYU by 9. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I would expect.
But it doesn't. Actually, no, I'm going to take that back. I don't think Wyoming's defense is that great.
Their defense is terrible. They lost to Vegas this year, and they gave up 69 points.
Yep.
So it's probably one of the worst defenses BYU will have played.
Yeah, no, that's defense isn't great. They gave up 22 to UC Davis early on in the year, and they're giving up around, I'm seeing mostly in the 20s, but it seems like they're either hot or cold when it comes to their defense. They're either going to play really well and hold a pretty good Boise State offense, to 28 points, or they're going to let UNLV run up 69 points on you. So,
that's insane.
But definitely more of a an offensive team from the looks of it. They're going to rely a lot on their quarterback, who's got almost 3,000 yards passing, just 4 yards shy, 26 TDs, 13 interceptions. So he will throw interceptions, but he does rack up a lot of touchdowns. So, you know, BYU secondary, who's been, you know, has their moments where they're really good. They've been better than they have in years past, but that is definitely, when you look at, you break down BYU's defense, that is their weakest spot still is that, yeah, secondary. So it's going to be key for BYU to get pressure, which I think they can, against Wyoming and make Allen get the ball out of his hands quickly, because he will throw interceptions. But if you give him time to get Pat, you know, get those receivers open, and they do have some decent receivers out there, it could be a nightmare scenario for him. It could be a lot like the Toledo game in some ways, is what I'm thinking about in my mind, is a team that can run, you know, pass the ball really well, but can't really D it up. And BYU's their offense should be better than when they played Toledo, but you know, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it'll be a good test. I mean, obviously Wyoming's got to 8 wins because, you know, they know how to score points. It's not like they're a really, really bad team, but they do have a lot of weaknesses on the defensive side of the ball. And which is where BYU has had theirs, as you were just touching on. But one thing I have been impressed with this season with Coach Tuiaki is usually the first drive of the game is where they give up, BYU's defense gives up the most points and they give up a score, whether it's a touchdown or field goal. But from that point on, the defense is lights out. And mm-hmm. that's just something that's been a pattern, really, in Coach Tuiaki's scheming. Just getting a feel for them on that first drive and then just kicking them in the teeth after that. At this point, it's happened enough times where you kind of have to expect it until it doesn't happen again. And that's something I think that we'll give. I think BYU covers. They'll win comfortably. They won't blow out the Cowboys, but I still expect them to put up 30 points and win by, you know, somewhere in between the 9 to 12 point range. Because Wyoming does not have a bad offense. They are high-powered, and as we've seen this season, that can be a struggle for the Cougar defense. But I think they come out on top. It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be fun to see Tanner, see how he does with the vertical passing game, which is something that's been non-existent. And it's put a lot of pressure on Jamal Williams, and that's what has caused him, I think, to miss a few games, getting injured, having so much pressure on him, knowing where BYU's – their weaknesses were on the offensive side of the ball, but I think that could be masked now with a vertical passing game. So it'll be fun to see Jonah Trinneman running down the field, things like that. Maybe some more passes to Tanner Baldery up the middle of the play action. I'm excited to see. It'll be a good way to end the season and to get a feel for how the next season is for the Tanner Mangum era. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. You mentioned a good point there, just the dynamic of the defenses have to definitely respect the passing game more, at least from what we saw from Tanner last year. And so you're right. It's going to, defenses are going to have to not necessarily stack the box. And it adds an interesting dynamic. Now, with that being said, I mentioned this earlier on in the year when there was talk about whether it should be Tanner or Taysom. The one thing that Taysom brought for you was his legs. So you almost had to have an extra defender almost keyed in on Taysom Hill, just in case he broke free. Almost like if, you know, I have a linebacker whose only goal is to make sure he is always keeping tabs on the quarterback. Now Tanner back there, that's not the case. And now you can let that linebacker play how he's designed to play, which is either, you know, run up on them on a run or in a pass, go out in coverage and either play in a zone or take up a man. So it'll be very interesting to see. I would imagine that it will still bode well for BYU in this situation. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun game to watch. And BYU fans are they don't have a guarantee for a bowl next year. They don't have a tie-in, right? So, you know, next year is going to be really weird. So,
be fun to see. I'm just glad it's not an afternoon bowl game. I think that's terrible that they even do that, but with so many of them, you have to. 7 o'clock next Wednesday. It's the only one that night.
ESPN?
So, ESPN.
Awesome. Yeah, that's it'll be a good one. I'll be tuning in.
Yeah, going to be good stuff, man.
Good stuff. Now, as we go in and transition, we're not going to touch a whole bunch on the Utah game just because we're still a week away from that one because they play the following Wednesday. But we'll mention a little bit, couple quick thoughts. That game's on Fox, so that's another interesting tidbit is that Utah did not play once on ESPN this year. All their games were either on Fox, FS1, or the Pac-12 networks. And I think they had one on CBS Sports Network when they played at San Jose State. So that's really weird. I don't know if I've ever remembered, a time, at least since they've been to Pac-12, where they haven't had a game on one of the ESPN networks. But anyway, it should be
just goes to show how well Fox is doing in the football market.
Is that trying to be
I don't think that's a slide at all to the Utes. I think that's really cool, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and that's what I was thinking, too. I just didn't know, with you, I don't know which way you're rolling, so I had to question it. But,
yeah, you never know. That, keep you on your heels, man.
Someone's got to, right? So, but I think that's a great thing. And, being on Fox, it's a primetime game. It's similar to being on ABC. In that retrospect, and I really like Fox's coverage. They usually, for all their games, whether it's on FS1 or on the Fox on the actual network channel, they have a 30-minute pregame show and similar to their NFL show. So very, very well done. So yeah, I'm excited about that, and this should be a game that Utah should win and should win. I would believe comfortably. Indiana is an okay team. They're 6-6. I don't know what is their best win. Their coach is fired in a weird situation. He's gotten them to two straight bowl games, and then he's fired because of some allegations that come out. So it'll be very interesting.
They're kind of a mess right now.
Yeah, very interesting.
They did
how
beat Michigan State. At the time,
which might be their
best
win. Yep. And obviously, we saw how Michigan State ended the year, but a lot of close wins. A close win against Rutgers, which is not a good team at all. But they played Michigan okay. They played Nebraska. They played a lot of good teams. The Big Ten was one of the better conferences this year, so. They are a traditional. Well, I wouldn't say they are a traditional Big Ten team. They're going to be big up front. They do throw the ball around quite a bit, and they do have a 1,000 yard back as well, who's a solid back. So, but nothing really strikes you out. Like they have a quarterback who's throwing for 3,000 yards, which is great. But he's 18-16 TD to interception ratio. I would imagine Utah is going to get pressure on them, and hopefully turn those into turnovers. But it'll be interesting to see how they come into this game with the firing of their coach. But their new coach that's in now, he's their main guy. Like he's not an interim coach. So they can go out there, and this is an opportunity for them, especially some of those younger guys who are fighting for battle. This is their opportunity to lay the foundation for next year. So I think they'll come out a lot differently than maybe a team who had a coach fired with an interim coach or something like that. I think that gives them a little bit of an edge. But I do think Utah's the better team. They're obviously been ranked pretty much the whole, obviously the whole college football playoff rankings, they've been ranked. And obviously upsets happen. So, but I think Utah's a better team. They're going to probably have the advantage in the stands. There's a lot of Utah alum in that area, and there'll be Utah fans that travel. I wouldn't imagine price wise, it's cheap for Indiana to get out there. So, you know, we'll dive deeper into it in next week, but I expect this to be a game Utah comes out and should win you know, by 9-8 or more, you know, a comfortable win. So, but I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it, but
I won't say too much other than, hey, Ute fans, at least you got to play in Levi's Stadium this year like you wanted.
I've seen that going around on Twitter. This is we're playing in Levi's Stadium. It's just not necessarily the game we wanted, but
yeah,
I'm
you got what you wished
for
though.
We did, and you know, I'm excited to get out of the Mountain West, or not the Mountain West, the Mountain West affiliated bowl, the Las Vegas Bowl, and actually play a P5 team. You know, hey, I know that sounds like a dig, but I wasn't meaning it necessarily towards that. It's just when you go Colorado State, and then BYU fans say this all the time. You know, with their independence, you know, they like playing different teams, right? And
it's
this
fun.
Is
yeah.
This is similar for Utah. They're playing a team out of the Big 12 or the Big 10 that they haven't played much at all. I think they've only played 3 times in their career. So it's kind of a fun idea playing a different team. So I'm excited from that standpoint.
It's refreshing.
And that brings up a whole – it's refreshing, right? Yeah, it brings up a whole other issue that the Pac-12 has some bad bowl ties. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
They need to figure that out. You know, there's no reason.
The problem
that
is there's just too many, period.
Yeah, I just don't get – for me, I get – obviously it goes the Rose Bowl – and then it goes the Holiday Bowl or the Alamo Bowl, and then the Holiday Bowl, and then it would go the Foster Farms, which is Utah's in, which is an okay game, but a 6-6 team, and then the Vegas Bowl. Like,
yeah,
I don't. The Vegas Bowl should be after the Sun Bowl, and should be after. Actually, no, the Sun Bowl is in front of the Vegas Bowl. It goes Sun after the Foster Farms Bowl, it goes the Sun Bowl, and then it goes Vegas Bowl, and then it goes to the Cactus Bowl, which to me should be in front of the Vegas Bowl, just from the standpoint that you're playing a Big 12 school. So, I don't know. That's some weird ties. I don't know why they don't have a tie with an SEC game. It's that's a whole other subject.
Sure, that's
high
demand. But honestly, I don't think it's like a pecking order anymore. It's whoever the bowl takes, they take. So, you know,
well,
of course, that gives Vegas priority.
It does
right,
go in
yeah,
a certain order,
one
but
loss from each other.
Exactly. Yep. And that's why Utah is in. You technically Stanford probably could have gone into the Foster Farms Bowl, but even though it's in their backyard, they didn't like their attendance. And it's all about selling tickets in these bowl games. So, and that's why they took Utah, just because historically they've traveled better, even to a team that's right in the Bay Area. So, it's a whole nother subject, and that's something we can address a lot more in future episodes, but, that's our quick thoughts on that, on Utah's matchup. And like I said, don't know a whole lot about Indiana. I haven't watched a whole lot of their games, but hopefully I can get a little bit more information leading up to next week's show to provide a little bit more analysis.
Yeah, it'll be fun to preview that game next week. But I'm looking forward to the BYU game, of course.
Of course, yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. let's do this. Let's hit a quick break, after which, as we come back, we'll dig into basketball now. We'll touch on the Jazz, and we'll touch on, obviously, the Cougs and Utes college basketball.
Let's do it.
All right, welcome on back to the J&J podcast. As always, we are part of the Torn by Sports Network and the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we are coming in. This is our 16th episode. I wanted to share, before we get into the basketball, Blog Talk Radio, you know, gives you a bunch of tools on their website. A lot of the major podcasts you probably listen to are affiliated or used on Blog Talk Radio, if you guys weren't aware. But they give some cool analytics on their website. And I just wanted to touch, you know, majority, obviously, there's a huge percentage, 97% of our listeners are from the United States. But just a big shout out here real quick. These are some of the other countries that our show is getting listened in. And I thought it was pretty interesting. So obviously Canada, Mexico, Chile,
wow.
France, Norway, and New Zealand and Iceland. New Zealand is on there as well. So pretty cool, interesting things. I mean, that's a small percentage. It might only be one or two people that are listening in there, but shout out to you guys, whoever you are. Yes, shout out to you guys.
However the show's getting out, that's great. Keep listening, and thanks. We couldn't do it without you guys on the other end.
And I wanted a quick shout out real quick that I forgot to do as far as someone interacting with the show. With that poll we put out there, we got one response for an option as far as which has your interest right now. And it was from TJ, which is at Utes 4 Runner. That's at Utes, the number 4 Runner. He said Utes recruiting. And there is a lot of people right now that whether you're a BYU fan or Utah fan, they're into the whole recruiting aspect, because right now is the big time. So, yeah, if we could give other options, I definitely would have included recruiting on there, because that is a big thing. I don't like to get tied up in it too much because it can make you go crazy. And these are kids.
No doubt.
And so obviously, we get a very small percentage of people that are very negative in recruiting as far as negative responses. But, I try to stay away from it because it just kills you. You know, I've been kind of taking a break from Twitter here. You know, I get on here and there and just check things out, but I've missed a lot of the news lately. But man, I got on there the other day and I saw people, you know, going crazy because Utah didn't get a guy or whatnot. I think it was actually today. They got that linebacker, one of those big linebackers in state, went to USC. It's like, all right, guys, it's okay. We're not going to get them all. And so it's kind of refreshing. I wasn't on there for some of that, but yeah, I definitely would have included that, and I appreciate the interaction, because that is a very a big thing now. Recruiting is big, especially with social media.
Well, and how teams end up, you know, with final recruiting rankings, it can be a big deal. I mean, obviously, at Alabama, they're
of course,
number one recruiting every season for obvious reasons, because they keep winning. But that doesn't always translate. Especially
nope.
At schools at Utah and BYU with these LDS kids who aren't going to be playing for a while. And, you know, BYU fans know that very well. Back in, you know, 2009, 2010 with Jake Heaps and Zach Stout and Ross Oppo, BYU had a great recruiting class, and those guys didn't pan out, obviously, the way that, you know, that they were expected to. And so you just never know. So, yeah, chill a little bit. It's cool to see guys commit, but don't get upset when you don't land somebody, because you don't know what's going to happen. None of us do. It's just how they work and how they work as an individual. But be grateful for them, for choosing to come to your school to represent you, put that logo on the helmet, and play football, and just let it pan out. And that's the one thing about recruiting that really bugs me sometimes, is, you know, people just freak out way too soon and let these kids play out. You know, well, let's give them a chance before we berate them for not playing well.
Yeah. I couldn't set it better there. And, And but it, you know, it's fun to look at it and see.
Yeah.
You know, for Utah's looking to have, you know, obviously they don't have a whole lot of commitments right now, but the ones they do are highly, you know, touted, some 4-stars in there. So it's fun, and Utah looks like they could have a really good class depending on what happens here in the next few weeks. But like you said, you know, a good class doesn't necessarily translate, and and in both ways, Utah and BYU both have been on the side where they don't necessarily get all the recruits, but they develop the talent really well and win games more than some of those teams who have those top classes. So
yeah,
interesting
absolutely.
Stuff for sure. But another interesting thing.
That was a great response there.
Definitely appreciate it, and we always look forward to more. So we'll give you guys a shout out for sure. But another thing going on, and the one that was the number one answer on that poll, Utah Jazz right now is a very, very fun team, very fun, interesting team to watch right now. But yeah, well, they're 9 and out of their last 11, they're 9-2. And they even went, you know, they went at least one or two of those games where they had Hayward X them out as well as Hood and Hill. Injury has been a topic of this for sure, but I mean, Hayward's been playing out of his mind. Gobert has been playing at an all-star level as well.
Yeah, he has. He's been playing great.
Fun. Well, it's been just been a fun team to watch, and you know, injuries have been an issue, but they're winning still right now. They're winning games, and you know, you have someone like Joe Ingles who's stepping in, who's over 51% three-point shooting right now, shooting out of his mind. They just have so many weapons. I haven't finished the Thunder game last night. I had it recorded. I was watching part of it, but it was just a Utah player, whether it be Exum, whether it be Shelvin Mack or Hood, whoever it would drive to the hoop, and they'd just kick it out, and you'd have an open shot, you know. Lyle is hitting shots, Ingles hitting shot, Exum's hitting a shot. I mean, like, how do you guard that? It's so tough to do, and it's fun, and it even gets me more excited when you think about we still have George Hill, who's been arguably probably the MVP candidate of this team, and Alec Burks, who we haven't seen for a couple of years, I feel like. But, you know, if we get those guys back and remain healthy, this team could contend for, I wouldn't say an NBA championship necessarily, but at least a Western Conference Finals per se, depending on how they finish the year and then their matchups. They can avoid Golden State in that first, you know, first two series. That I think they could get there. But you know, it's a fun
team. It's you don't see inside out basketball in the NBA hardly as much anymore. That's why it's a lot of fun. The Jazz have so many players at so many positions. Obviously, Derek Favors came back in last night's game with limited minutes. Got to get everybody healthy, though, or it's, I've been pretty negative on the Jazz about not staying healthy, but look where they're sitting in the standings, you guys, and it's almost Christmas. You know, once the calendar turns, that's when basketball is full in force. As we approach the All-Star break, the Jazz are in a good spot right now. Like, they're firmly in the playoffs. Look at the teams behind them, and they're not dropping out of the top eight anytime soon. So we're going to see a playoff team, and they've got all the tools. It's so exciting. Just everybody, just freaking get healthy, please. Like, I really hope this is just Quinn Snyder's way of coasting and to allow everybody to get healthy for the playoffs. Sorry, I just saw the highlight of the Seahawks punter getting drilled again. you got to check that out once the show's over. It's good basketball, a lot of fun, especially when guys like Joe Ingles are playing so well in their, you know, respective roles too. We're not asking, you know, Quinn Snyder's not asking Joe Ingles to do too much. He's not asking Dante Exum to do too much, as Shelvin Mack's been playing well off the bench also. So, you know, everybody's doing their part when they can, when they're on the court. a lot of pressure off of Gordon Hayward this season because Rodney Hood's playing great basketball, and of course George Hill probably having the best season of his career when he's on the floor. He's only played in 11 games this year, so that's very, very frustrating. And that's a lot of money sitting on the bench. So hopefully,
yeah, and
good stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, for George Hill, who really hasn't missed in his time at Indiana, didn't miss a whole lot of time. You know,
so it makes it even more frustrating.
It is, and I think people don't realize. And he was on the radio talking about his injury a little bit the other day, and he just got the boot off, which is good. People think he just sprained a pinky toe, and I was one of these who's like, all right, really? Or not? It was his big toe, but he talked about. He said, unless you've had it happen and you're an athlete, you really don't know how much you use that toe for balance and other things. And I thought about it. I was like, you know, he's got a good point. You know, it seems silly that it was a toe that's holding him out, but it's similar to if you lost your thumb, you know, how hard would it be to do your things that you're used to doing? It takes a little bit of time. So, I'll give him some credit and you never want someone to come back too early. You kind of saw that with Derek Favors. They kind of rushed him back a little bit too early, and then he injured something else or aggravated it, and they had to sit him out longer. So, you know, I'm glad that he's trying to get this right. But it just makes you appreciate guys that have seem to fight. You know, the old Stockton Malone days, you know, they never miss games.
Nope.
It makes you appreciate Hayward's one of those guys who had a broken finger, was supposed to miss 6 weeks, and 2 weeks in he's back, you know? So, you know, he's for as much grief and he's gotten in the past, you know, he's been one of those guys who's just knock on wood, he's been there, you know, for the team. And it just makes you appreciate those guys a little bit more, but yeah, it's tough. Injuries are tough. They really are.
It's, you know, you don't want to compare injuries because a foot is different than a finger, but you can definitely see things a little bit differently for different players. So, you know, hopefully they keep playing well. It's fun to watch, especially Gobert. You mentioned him. We can't just leave it with that one mention. He's playing incredible basketball at really a position that he owns. There aren't any centers in the NBA that do what he does.
Andre
Jordan, probably the only one on that same level. If you want to count Pau Gasol as a center instead of a power forward, not something that he did for a really long time, but you don't see that anymore. And I think that's what makes the Jazz so versatile and so dangerous, because it's not this run and gun and shoot 20 million threes a game from half court and, you know, throw up your arms in the air before the shot goes down. And that's the Jazz are playing actual basketball, and that's why it's fun to watch. I enjoy watching it. They're moving the ball around inside, front court, back court. It's stuff that I enjoy watching right now.
You know what? It's with Gobert, had a couple 20-point games, and there's been talk and on the radio or online. Who, you know, because someone on this Jazz team, if they keep it up until the All-Star break, someone on this team is going to be on the All-Star team. A lot of people think Gordon Hayward, but he is definitely he's been playing really well this season. Like he's definitely upped his game lately. But his position is so stacked.
Yeah.
You know, when that guard forward position, how is he going to get in? So then it goes to maybe it's Gobert. You know, and it's going to come down to him and DeAndre Jordan because that center position is a lot more open. So, you know, you could see a Gobert get in there if he keeps, you know, he has to keep it up. Both those guys have to keep it up if they want to do in there. And obviously, if you're injured, you know, you're not going to be in that conversation. But I'm interested to see how it ends up for those guys. And right now, the Jazz are sixth in the West. And they're only three games back from the Clippers, who are sitting in the third spot with, and Houston are tied right there. And that's almost the more frustrating part when you think about it. You think that if this Jazz team would have been healthy, they're probably sitting at 20-6,
you know, instead of 16 and 10, you probably could take at least four of those games and give them wins.
Hopefully that's limited for the rest of the year, because that's something that's haunted the Jazz the last couple of years. Games they should have won. They had no business losing, and, you know, a season like last year, missing the playoffs by one game, every game counts. So, yeah, just got to keep it up. But it's going in a good direction for sure.
Yep, and let's see. They got Dallas on Friday, ESPN game. They got the Grizzlies on the road, a tough game right now for them that could definitely, in fact, impact position-wise. And then they have the Warriors, Kings. I mean, they have a good mix of games that are winnable and games that are going to be tough. So, as always, it's early on the season, but we're what, a third of the way through? So,
yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, every win definitely counts. It's too early to stress about it, but you know, it is a big issue. You know, they got to win those games that are in front of them. So I'm excited.
Yeah, good stuff. Basketball season in full force. Even, you know, locally here in the college ranks, as we get closer and closer to conference play starting, that doesn't happen for another week or two. But you know, some. Still a little slow getting into college season, but it's like that season's a third of the way over already as well. So here we are in full force. It's definitely that time of year.
Yeah, it's we're getting to the point of the season where the games are going to mean something, and it's going to be fun. I mean, obviously, I don't even know if we were going to preview the Xavier game, and obviously BYU had the Colorado game that week as well, or that day. But you know, Utah went out there to Xavier, a team who come off a couple losses, but a really good team, and they actually played, you know, better than I thought. You know, my thought was, let's keep this in single digits, which they did. But I mean, it was a lot closer. They hit a couple free throws there at the end, but they played really, really well for a team that's technically missing two starters to go on a road where an arena where they don't have a football team. That's Xavier lives and breathes basketball. You know, they had their opportunities, and they obviously could see where they were missing some big play from a David Collette or a Cedric Bearfield, but Devon Daniels, the freshman, he looked really, really well, had 19 points, led Utah in scoring. Kyle Kuzma had an okay game, 11 points, 10 rebounds. Lorenzo Bonham showed up, had 18 points, a couple big clutch plays as well. But I was a little disappointed in Parker Van Dyke. He's one of those guys he needs to be able to hit down his open shots. He only took two shots in the game. And, you know, they started out the game shooting the three ball really well, and then they cooled off. So, you know, I think as this season goes, the three ball is going to be their Achilles heel, as far as they're going to either shoot the ball well and they're going to win some of these big games, or they're going to do it. They did against Xavier and Butler, where they just did not shoot it well. And hopefully when you get a Cedric Bearfield out there, who hopefully can be there, and him and Collette can maybe be there for their Saturday game before they hit Hawaii for their tournament. I'm hoping that can help stretch the floor a little bit for them. And this Utah team, like I've said and others have said, you can't really judge them until they get Collette and Bearfield, because technically, those are probably two starters. I know Collette was named a captain. So, you know, it's hard to judge this team. But when those guys are there and they're playing, I expect this team to battle for an NCAA tournament spot for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough conference, especially with how well, you know, UCLA is playing right now. Arizona looks beatable, but still
they definitely
really
do now.
Talented. So it's there's still a lot of basketball left, especially when Collette and, you know, get gets back after his transfer. So it's just something that, yeah, he's got to let it play out. And it's, you know, that games like Xavier, you know, would have been nice to get the win, but it still, you know, looks good. Good losses are a possibility in college basketball. That's something
that
the selection committee does look at. So,
and they'll look at injuries and who's on the team too.
Absolutely.
You know?
And they could be a different team a month or two from now because they'll have, you know, some other players on the team as well. So, yeah, it's Pac-12 basketball is difficult, but it's always a deep conference. They always get six or seven or sometimes even eight teams in. And Utah, I wouldn't expect them to be any worse than that. So somewhere in the middle, but
they
I wouldn't expect them to be
though.
Worse than seven, six or seven. So, yeah, it's a possibility. They can still get in for sure.
Yep, and then that same night that Utah, or that day or night, I guess you could say, Utah took on Xavier. BYU took on the other rival of Utah, Colorado, and took them to a good win. I mean, that's a team that just came off of a win against Xavier. So I don't know, did that spark a little bit more interest back into BYU basketball after the the disappointing loss to UVU?
It kept hopes alive, as not many opportunities left on the schedule for those signature wins for the committee to look at. Colorado is one of them. They're a good team. They're going to be a tournament team. They've got that big win against Xavier. RPI right now isn't a huge thing. It's not really – it's kind of like the rankings early in the season of football. They don't matter too much early in the year. You got to let things play out, and then the RPI will come into shape come, you know, February. That's when it'll start looking a little bit more accurate. So Colorado's a good win. Another one this Saturday at the United Center against Illinois. Not particularly a great Big Ten team, but still one of the only non-Gonzaga or St. Mary's resume games that they need to win to maximize their chances. They're still – gosh, that UVU loss is going to look really bad at the end of the season. The Valpo loss is a good one. They're looking like a good basketball team right now. So, but yeah, it was a solid win. Great win. I didn't expect them. They controlled the whole game as well. They didn't really have a deficit. They only had a short deficit in the second half, and TJ Hodge looked really good, which was an improvement because he's been playing really poorly the previous few games. And then of course, you can't talk about BYU basketball without mentioning Eric Mika. He's a monster. He's playing like an All-American. I'm not going to say he's going to end up as one at the end of the season, but he's definitely an NBA player on this team, and that's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's got a body, an NBA body, and it's nice to have a big man who can shoot free throws, right? I mean, they go to the foul line so much. It's such a key to have that. But, you know, I'll say this. UVU loss, it looks bad. It's not great, but that's a team I think that's going to end up winning their conference. And that's a team when you're filling out your bracket in that, you know, 14, 13 seed, 15 seed range, that, you know, that's one you keep in the back of your mind. If they get hot, they can make a little upset, one of those first round upsets. That's one of those type of teams. When it's all said and done, that's a fun team to watch. You know, they gave Utah and Utah State a run for their money. So that's a solid team, and they even got Weaver coming up too. So I mean,
if they don't win the WAC, it's a bad loss. If they do win the WAC,
I mean, they got to win the WAC.
I mean, at least they'll be a tournament team. But if they don't, then it's really bad still.
No, I get what you're saying. But Mika is one of those. I just wanted to, I guess, touch back on that. He's an NBA body. I've seen other people tweet out thoughts and opinions from different scouts and executives in the NBA. It'd be very interesting just because of his age, if he decides to leave after this year or next year. I mean, I'm not – you fans, if you're don't come at me for thinking I'm saying he's a lottery pick. I'm not saying he's a lottery pick.
But what I am saying is that he could be an NBA pick, and the further your career goes, and you can ask any other BYU player that's been in this situation, or even a Utah player who's gone on a mission and is older, that in the NBA, you know, they want youth, and it's hard to waste a draft pick on someone who is older. So, you know, they're all about the one and dones, the two and dones. It'll be interesting. I mean, that's a whole nother conversation that we can have if the season ends, but it's just something that I thought about in the back of mind. I've seen tweets about it and chatter online as far as, you know, something that he's going to have to think about, you know, at the end of the day, which is a good thing for BYU. I mean, you'd hate to see him leave, but at the same time, you know, BYU hasn't had the best of luck of getting players in the NBA. And, you know, it's going to help recruiting if you can do that. So very interesting. But, you know, shout out to Mika. He's playing really well, and he's a solid basketball player. So very fun to watch.
Yeah, a lot of basketball ahead. So it's going to be good stuff, I think. You did mention that as well. Really good as far as, you know, putting BYU on an NBA scout radar, which is rare for BYU basketball and Coach Rose. So this is huge, you know, especially with the amount of talent on the team and the potential still coming back with, you know, other guys on missions right now. So it's good stuff. Despite the early losses, it's still a lot of basketball left, and who knows, anything can happen between now and March.
Yep, long season ahead, that is for sure.
Yeah, man, it's like we keep saying, an awesome time of year with basketball getting in full swing and football winding down, and it's the holidays, of course, and I would expect we'll try to record once more before Christmas Day. To preview that Utes game, at least, if nothing else. But, exciting stuff, and it feels good. We've been off the recording train for a while, but it feels good to be back, even though we had those technical difficulties earlier on in today's show. But it still feels good to be doing it again, man.
I agree. So, as always, you know, we appreciate the interaction we get. We're grateful for Torn by Sports Network, Block Talk Radio. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter if you haven't. Make sure you follow the show, J_J Podcast. You can find me at The Real Roscoe, and you can find Jimmy at Jimmy Chess. So please connect with us. Let us know your thoughts. We did tweet out the number later in the show, so obviously I tweeted it out a little bit later. But one thing we might start doing is posting that number on there. And if you have any thoughts, you know, questions, whatever, feel free to call in. It'd be a great way to have some people interact, whether you listen to the show a lot or not. Just, we have a platform that you can use, so use it. So, you know, please try that. We'll try to do that going forward on our shows. And it's pretty simple. Just call that number. You'll hear the show until we put you on, just like you would on the radio. So, but yeah, we appreciate it. Anything else you want to hit up?
No, it's going to be a fun dynamic to have that. We could even, you know, have those call in, you know, the regular guys like Jake. We mentioned Jake. I know there's some other listeners on, you know, on my end that, you know, talk to me about the show as well. So it's going to be add a little fun dynamic there and get you guys involved in the show. Thanks for listening. And it feels good. It's good to be doing it.
Couldn't have said it better, man. Couldn't have said it better. So, yeah, hopefully we'll get a show up next week. But, you know, until then, we'll put the mic down and retire it until our next episode.
Sounds good.
All right, well, go Utes.
Go Cougs.
Hey, guys. Oh, big golf, huh? All right. Well, see you later.